Good morning. Welcome to the Church at 434 Celebration Live. We're glad you've joined us this morning. We're ready. Now, in order to be in compliance, here's our suggestion. Please move 6 feet back from your video screen at this time. We'll wait for just a moment while you get there. Know that just before we started, everybody has now been hand sanitized. We are good to go. So what we are guaranteeing for you is a germ-free, virus-free worship experience. We're glad that you joined us this morning. Let's get ready to worship. Go ahead and take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now, I realize that as you're watching at home, you may not have brought your Bible with you, so I'll give you a second to go round that up or open that up any way you need to. And just basically state the obvious in the room, you're not in the room, and we want to welcome you. This is Celebration Worship Live. And we are beginning what is a new ministry that will extend beyond this unique time period that we live in as we think about this coronavirus that is gobbling up the news and kind of altering everybody's lifestyle just a little bit. But this is the Church at 434 in motion, and it's designed for you to live life forward. And so we decided that this was the best time and a great time to let this ministry kind of open up and become what we wanted it to be. And so there's a lot of programming that will be out there. Not only is it going to be the live stuff, but it's going to be stuff that's on demand. And each week you can find out what's happening on what day, and there'll be multiple offerings each week. And we'll be giving you a starting time for that. And so if you follow us on Facebook, that'll be easy to keep up with. And so today we're going to talk about the missing ingredient, which is actually the second part of our series on a journey or learning to live life blessed. And so the passage says, and we covered the first few verses last week, but we'll jump in again, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The story that I'm about to tell you takes place in the autumn. There was a group of Native Americans living on a remote Indian reservation out west, and they asked their new chief if the winter was going to be cold or mild. Now, this is in recent history, and so since he was a new chief in a very modern society, there was a whole lot of the old ways and the Native American tradition that he just had not been a part of and had not inherited for his role. And so when he looked at the sky, he knew that he couldn't tell what kind of weather was coming. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he told the tribe that the winter was indeed going to be cold and that members of the village should collect firewood and be prepared. But he also was a practical leader. So after several days, he got an idea. And so he went into his office, called up the National Weather Service, and asked the question, is the coming winter going to be cold? At the other end of the line, it was quiet for a moment, and then the answer came back, yeah, it looks like the winter is going to be quite cold indeed. And so, taking the word of the meteorologist at the weather service, the chief went back out to his people and once again told them to collect even more wood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the National Weather Service again and asked the same question, is it going to be a very cold winter? Yes, said the meteorologist at the National Weather Service, it's definitely going to be a very cold winter. And so the chief again went back to his people and ordered them to collect every scrap of wood they can find. 2 weeks later, he called the National Weather Service again. He said, are you absolutely sure that the winter is going to be very cold? And the man said, without hesitation, absolutely. It's going to be one of the coldest winters ever. And the chief paused for a moment and said, how can you be so sure? And the weatherman replied, well, the Native Americans are collecting wood like crazy on the reservation. I'm sure it's going to be cold. Sometimes it's hard to know what's going on. And if you haven't had that feeling over the past week or so, then you've been living under a rock somewhere. We are listening to news broadcasts. We're listening to updates. We're building our lives around a 5 o'clock update or 11:30 update. And we're listening to people share with what they think. We're listening to experts who really, they're experts. It sounds like they're hunting the Yeti out there somewhere. I mean, you just don't know who knows what they need to know that you can trust and you can listen to. And yet, if you're going to survive these days, one of the things that we have been talking to you about is to remind yourself over and over again that you are called by God to live life blessed. He's blessed you. He's blessed you with everything that you need to take the journey with him. And that journey that you're on is a journey that you were created to take. And so here's what I know. No matter what's going on in the world around us right now, God is not surprised by that. And no matter how stressed we get, our Creator is not. And none of this has caught him off guard. And God has not put social distance between you and him. He wants to be close to you and closer than he's ever been before. And he wants you to connect with him and see his blessings. And so we've talked about the fact that we get to live our life with his power, his promises, and his purpose. Remember, this whole idea of blessing goes all the way back to Abraham, where God says to him, I am going to make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great. And then he tells Abraham, you will be a blessing. And we've talked about that, and we've kind of applied that to our lives, and we went forward, and we talked about the fact that the reason that we're blessed is so we can bless others. In other words, we're blessed to bless. And so now we move into a series where in the midst of what is turmoil in the world around us, and we're seeing something on a global scale that none of us in our lifetime can remember, we now, as followers and as people who are trying to connect to God, have to remember that we are loved by a God who wants to bless us and wants us to be successful. But in some ways, it does seem like the world is a little bit upside down. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the local grocery store this week and seen what's not there. And I know this crew out here, you know, we're here this morning, and fortunately, when they walked in the door, we had the essentials that they needed. There was water, and there was toilet paper. We were good to go. But we want to show you a clip that can remind you of the value of something that maybe you didn't know how important it was. And so our guys are going to call that up. I would say to you, if you were live in the house, look at the screen, but you already are. So for us in the room, we're going to look at the screen and check out that video.
Hi, everybody. I'm home.
Dear Mom, it's from my son. Your toilet tissue isn't soft enough. So I went to the library. Forever. Love, Bobby. He's such a card. Dear Mom, it's from my daughter. I ran off with a motorcycle gang that had softer toilet tissue. Lulu. She tried to warn me, but I just wouldn't change brands. Come in.
Special delivery.
Dear Mom, it's from my husband. Mentally, I just couldn't cope with our toilet tissue, so I quit my job today and ran off with a lady chiropractor. The two of us are living now in Arizona, working the earth, praying for a good harvest. Sure, it's a simple life compared to what we had, but after your toilet tissue fiasco, this is what I need now. Someday, perhaps, we'll see each other again. If not, we'll work something else out. Oh, who would have guessed that I would ever have gotten a Dear John toilet tissue? Dear Mom, it's from my neighbors. We don't like your toilet tissue, so get out of the neighborhood.
Oh,
But I left your toilet tissue. Love, a burglar. Oh, why did I have to take my toilet tissue for granted? I don't know, it just didn't seem that important.
I guess it is.
And now the whole world is against me. Everyone's turning against me, everyone. Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not the Jolly Green Giant, too.
I didn't know how important toilet tissue was. Yeah, we do. We've all kind of got on page with that, especially with all that's been going on as people have been just going and manically rushing through grocery stores. They're lining up before the stores open to get in to see if overnight somehow we managed to restock toilet tissue. It's amazing how your priorities shift and what wasn't important the day before becomes very important today. There is, in the midst of this outbreak, a lot of things that are happening that sometimes will make the news and sometimes you never see. Tom Grosch of Clear Spring, Maryland, is doing what he can to give back to his community. He said, as I was sitting in my office doing some work at the end of the day, God said to me, you've got to help your fellow man. And Grosch said, I knew exactly where to go to get the toilet paper, and I went and I bought it. My wife said, are you sure you want to do this? And there was something that I just couldn't hesitate with. When God tells me to tell me I have to do something, I simply have to do it. And so he bought 10 cases of toilet paper containing 96 rolls each, loaded them to his pickup truck, and headed for a parking lot to hand them out in to anyone who wanted them. His wife, niece, and two teenage friends waved free toilet paper signs as drivers honked their approval on the highway. As people got the rolls, some offered to pay him, but he refused. And he asked them instead to pay it forward. Now let me pause in the story for just a minute. Once toilet paper is used, don't pay it forward. Neither here nor there. But the outbreak that has taken place has affected all of us, and we're trying to make a little bit of difference in our community, he told the Herald Mail. And then he ended his interview with them by saying, we're just trying to be a blessing and make somebody's life better. You know, when you're a blessing to others, you do make their lives better. And it doesn't have to be something big. It can be as simple as a roll of toilet paper. But we indeed are blessed to bless. And when we make the decision to do this as a lifestyle, then and only then, by the way, do we have the freedom and luxury to move through life in God's blessing. So how does it happen? I mean, we've been talking about God's blessing. We've been talking about seeing our lives as blessed. We've been talking about blessing others. So this is that series where the rubber really does meet the road. How does it happen? What does that look like? Peter, as he writes in the passage that we looked at, uses a word that is a bit old-fashioned, maybe even dated, a word that maybe you don't use in your everyday vocabulary, but it's here in Scripture. And the word is diligence. Diligence. And while the word may sound old-fashioned, it is an unmistakable quality of people throughout history. And so here's what I know. If you and I are going to travel through this life on this blessed journey that God has created for us, Peter, now as an author, is reminding us that an essential, non-negotiable ingredient in withstanding the pressures of the world is diligence. God blesses you with his power, he blesses you with his promises, and he blesses you with his purpose. But if you're going to live those out, you have to make a choice that that's what you want, and you have to take hold and move forward. It begins with a commitment where we simply say to God, you know, God, this is not my life, it's your life, and you care more about me than I care about myself. And when we say that, we are making a decision to offer our lives to God in a very unique way. Then we're going to go all in. And that's what Peter's saying in this passage. And so if you would, take just a moment, bow your heads with me as we pray, as we continue worshiping together. God, these are strange times. And they're strange enough to make all of us feel just a little bit off and off kilter. And we're confused in some ways. We're stressed in some ways. Some are even fearful. And some are just feeling the pressure. And we really can't put our finger on it. But the news is real good about telling us what we ought to be afraid of. And we're hearing the stories. And then we walk into a supermarket. And we worry about what's going to happen next. And yet we come to this moment of worship. And we have the chance to connect with you and be reminded again of just how amazing and how good you are and how much you love us. And so, Lord, as we continue our worship, help us to make a proclamation about our decision to live for you. And rekindle within us a desire to offer our lives to you, not just this day, but on every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go back to the passage, and I want to share with you what is the essential ingredient. The essential ingredient. This is actually found in verse 5, and so the word that's there is diligence. And I mentioned that a second ago. What does the word mean? Well, it means to make every effort to act with urgency, zeal, and earnestness. Now, it's the mental picture that you get if you've ever watched the Olympics and you've watched like the 100-meter dash. It is that moment where you get to that 10-meter mark from the finish line. And there usually is a clump of runners that are together. And the illustration that is used here is that effort, that extra bit of effort that the runner will make to stretch, to break that barrier first. See how I did that? Cool, huh? Pull the muscle right here in celebration worship. But hopefully we'll get to see the Olympics this summer. That's on my prayer list, and you can add it to yours as well. But it is that effort that sometimes gets us beyond the finish line and gets us moving. Now, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary translates it, or not doesn't translate it, defines it this way: steady, earnest, and an energetic effort. The creator of that dictionary, you know his name, was a man by the name of Noah Webster, who himself was a dedicated Christian, who published his very first work in 1806. Most of you don't remember that. He was a man who was known for his diligence. And those that knew him as a man that would work night and day to produce that famous work in which he defined and put into print for the very first time the meaning of 70,000 words. And by doing so, he basically helped shape and reshape what we know today as American English. His original definition in that 1806 publication of the word diligence was this: steady in application to the task, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken, attentive, and not idle. Interestingly enough, long before Webster gave us his definition, the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, helps lay out what diligence is and what it isn't. Matter of fact, in Proverbs, it emerges as the opposite of laziness. Proverbs 12:24 says this: diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, lazy people want much, but get little. But those who work diligently will prosper. Now, don't confuse the word diligence with obsession. It's not intended to mean that. But instead, it means going full throttle in our pursuit of the godly life and working harder to do it better each and every day. And as we do, we start to embrace the life that we were created to live, the blessed life that God has for us. And so as we've been exploring the blessing of God, here's where Peter is good for us, because he is now giving us a very strong reminder that although we get all of that stuff that we talked about last week, he's also saying that you don't get that by living life on autopilot. That's important. Verse 5 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. He doesn't say, don't just give diligence. But the word all, A-L-L, is there on purpose in every translation. Giving all diligence. In other words, it's an intense effort. This is embracing with seriousness and responsibility the God-breathed life that you were created to live. It's not just kicking back and doing nothing and waiting for it to wash over you. It is simply making that commitment that I'm going to be diligent to experience life and live the life that I was created to live. Some of you America's Got Talent fans will recognize the name of Terry Fader. He is one of the best-known ventriloquists in the world. And he achieved stardom on AGT and now has been a headliner since in Vegas. But what most people don't know about him is that he was working at his craft for 30 years before anyone knew him. In a biography of his life that was written in a magazine, the author put it this way. He is the result of 30 years of diligent work. When Fader was 10 years old, he found a book about ventriloquism in his school library. He read it and was hooked. And so he saved his money, he bought an inexpensive puppet, and he practiced for hours every day from the time that he was 10 years old. He performed in front of church groups and talent shows, and 3 decades later, he stood on the stage of AGT, and he hits the big time. When he was asked one time what advice he would give to others, he said, never stop working. Always work toward what you're trying to do. Because when you quit working, the dream dies. If you love what you're doing, then do it. It doesn't matter if you're in front of an elementary school group of 20 kids, a church youth group of 15 kids, or 20 million people on America's Got Talent. I love the phrase that he used, when you quit working, the dream dies. I know I'm not talking to any of you, but I do know some followers of Jesus who have lost their dream about that life that God has for them, and they've quit working at it very hard. They're missing the ingredient that is crucial for them to live the life that they were created to live, and that's diligence. And in Fader's life, the illustration is there. If it takes 30 years to make a puppet talk, no wonder it takes so long for us to really get this journey of what it means to follow Jesus right. And so if you haven't started, start now and get busy. This is a great day. You've been forgiven immediately that moment that you decide to believe, trust, and follow. Your eternal life is now on. And so every step you take today is moving you toward eternity. But you do have to grow, and you do have to move forward. And it takes time, and it takes diligence. The great news is, you don't have to do it alone. He has promised to be with you each and every step of the way. And he will not leave you, no matter what's going on in the world around you. As we continue to worship together, this song will remind you of that. Remind you of how much we need him. Let's keep looking at the passage, and let's add to the mix just a little bit. And what we're adding to the mix is that dash of diligence. If that indeed is the essential ingredient, then it certainly becomes a part of what needs to be in the mix. Verse 5 says it this way, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And if you're one that likes to write in your Bible, you can underline the word add. This word in the mix here is a big one, although it only has 3 letters. And it's only used once, but in the original languages, there is an assumption where it is used additional times in the words that follow. So it would read this way. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance, add godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And the add, A-D-D, the word that is used here, is a translation of a Greek term which means the leader of the chorus of all things. And in those times, plays needed large choruses and were very expensive to produce. And so back in Athens, there were citizens who voluntarily took on the duty, making sure that the value of these productions was good, and they would do so at their own expense. And so they were volunteers that had to put their money where their mouth was. And they would go out together, and they would work, and they would maintain and equip these choruses. And the people who would do this, they would pay the price out of their love for the city and their love for art, and they had a name. They were called the Korigoi. Korigoi, which is where we get our word today, choreographer. It means never equipping in a miserly way, but instead to lavishly pour out everything necessary for a great performance. In other words, it is that all-in commitment. And so you go back into the context of the verses. Peter's writing, you with diligence add all of these things. And every time that you add just a little bit, you're called to add just a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. It takes us back to the very beginning of our blessing series when we talked about the fact that the parable reminds us, the parable of the talents reminds us that when you're given something, you're expected to use it and use it completely and totally because God has given it to you and you're not the owner of it. These folks in Athens, although they weren't trying to be spiritual about it, that's where the word came from because in their life what they did is they made that commitment to go all in completely. And they did so with diligence. I know that today, as we are streaming live and as we have started what is for us a new media experience called the Church at 434 in Motion, you need to understand that behind the scenes, there has been folks who have worked diligently to make this happen, to move beyond the bounds of what we would normally do, to connect with you and give you a connection point. To be able to kind of push forward some things that we've done in the past and not be satisfied with that, but to figure out, well, how can we do it again and then some? And how can we take another step forward? And so a lot of things that we're doing today in the midst of this thing that's going on around us in the culture is new territory for us. And yet at each point, at each moment of the challenge of can we do this, can we do this, can we do this, you have to understand that folks look back to me and said, well, we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out. And so the fact that you're watching through whatever platform you are today, you're like we are. You're learning it real time and you're seeing it real time. But it's come because with diligence we went to what we knew that we had. We added to it. We added to it. We added to it. See, for you to live the life that you were created to live, God has said to you, you have to stay with us each and every day. If you are quarantined at home right now, that doesn't let you off the hook as a follower. You have to, with diligence every day, figure out how you're going to best stay connected to God, connected to those that you love, and connected to the world around you so that you can make a difference. Just because we live in a world where there's a coronavirus that is consuming everybody's thoughts, your thoughts still have to be consumed about the things of Christ. And there's ways that you can make a difference in the lives of others and the people that you're closest to and the people that you'll reach out to in a variety of ways. It is a moment where we have the chance to be the people of God and bless each other in powerful, powerful ways. There are people, and you may be one of them, and we have certainly been hearing from them over the past week here at the church at 434, where this is all a little bit overwhelming. And there was a great thought process, at least in my heart, as I was praying through, well, God, is this going to be a day where we just take the whole time and we stream a worship event and I teach, as so many people are today, about this coronavirus and answer some questions about that and try to kind of somehow bring that back into the confines of Scripture? And God really laid on my heart, no. You keep going with what it is that we planned out months ago. And you stay with it because you're talking about things that people have to remember, because no matter what the circumstances are around us, we are called by God to bring a diligence and an intensity to the moment. And right now, it's not as easy as it might normally be. Because right now, we're all looking for a new normal, aren't we? We're waiting for that calendar to click down and get to day 14, 16 to kind of take a look to see if we flatten the curve or not. 3 weeks ago, flatten the curve wasn't in most of our vocabularies. We didn't care about a curve. We didn't care if it was flat. But we do now. And we're listening to experts tell us things over and over again. And a few minutes ago, I mentioned it's like hunting a Yeti. Because they're in new territory as well. This is all brand new for them. And it's like Yeti hunting, because while there's evidence and they're guessing that there's a Yeti out there, we still don't know what that Yeti looks like. We've seen what we think it looks like in other places, but here, we don't know. And so every day right now is a brand new adventure. And yet God calls us to go all in for him. And he didn't give us a day off just because today we couldn't get together in this building and celebrate and worship. But we can make it. You're going to survive it because you're His. Now, when I say survive it, I don't know what that means. I just mean if you're in His hand, you're going to be okay. And because He lives, we're going to be able to press forward and press into the world around us. And God has a plan for you right now, even in the midst of this, for you to bless others. Don't be afraid of that. Take advantage of it. Let me pray as we sing once again. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for what it says. And we thank You for the reminder that maybe some of us need to kind of jerk us out of our seats just a little bit. And instead of being so passive and feeling like we are just waiting for something to happen, we would figure out ways to connect, to share Your love, to encourage and be a bright light in some way in the world to the people around us that desperately need it. If anything, the things that are happening around us today remind us that there is hope. Not hope from anything that we've seen, or not hope from anything that we can manufacture or make up, but hope that we have that is a reality in our lives because You are who You promised You would be, and You're alive and well. And that's who we choose to follow. Remind us of that as we sing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, that is a great summary of the ideas that Peter has been writing about in this particular passage. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving." Whatever you do, the call of God in your life is to do it heartily. That could be a word that would describe diligence. And if you do, and you live your life as if every moment is a gift of worship and work for the Lord, He has promised there will be a reward. So whatever you're doing, do it diligently. Remember, what you're doing even today is for Him, not for yourself. You're living for Him. And He is not only with you, He is going to bless you, even in those moments where it seems like life is a little bit more stressful and a little tougher. Let's pray one more time. God, You are our Creator, and we are Your creation. And when things in the world happen around us that are so out of our control, we are reminded of that, and we're reminded of how much we need You. But because You do live, and because You live within us, we can face whatever it is that we have to face, knowing that we're never alone and knowing that You're with us. Lord, there are some who will watch this either in this moment or will watch it later on demand. And God, we're talking about this, but there is an emptiness inside of them because they've never made that decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. I pray that even now this would be their moment. This would be the moment of decision for them. And all they have to do is send us an email and let us know that that's a decision they want to make, to believe, trust, and follow. And we would be thrilled, honored to be able to send back to them all sorts of stuff and contact them about what they need to do and how it works and what the decision means. And it will change their life forever. But Lord, there are many who are watching this even now, and it is just the uncertainty of life that's overwhelming. And so we pray that You would just give them a peace that can only come from You. That You would give them a calm that comes from that call again and again in the Bible that says to fear not. And that You would help us to see in our lives, all of our lives, that there is a gift that only You can give us that allows us to become the choreographer of the world around us as we go all in for you. That's our prayer, our hope for this day, this celebration worship event for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're glad you've been with us. That brings to an end this Celebration Worship Live experience. Take advantage of all the programming that you'll find at the Church of 434 in Motion. And there's more that will be added each and every day. Follow us on Facebook if you don't already. That's where the easiest place to get the times of what's being available, when it goes live, when it becomes on demand. There will be emails that will go out. And so if you're part of that e-letter list, make sure that you're looking at that. But we look forward to being able to see you face-to-face and be able to kind of get in front of you again. So many of you have been faithful, and so many of you ask, well, what about giving? How do the church doors stay open? Well, the reason I'm wrapping it up is because in just a couple minutes we go dark because we're out of power. We got hamsters running in the back. They're churning all the power we can, but we got bills we got to pay. And so if you want to give, go to the church website. That's touchandchange.net. Right there in the center of the page, it says donate. It's a yellow button. And if you click on that, it will be more than happy to take, in a secure setting, whatever it is that you choose to give. And so if you could do that, that would be great. Also, though, if you want to drop by checks, and some of you have already done that this week before we got to Sunday, we'll be around and be sure that we can meet you and receive those, and we'll be thrilled for that. But just know that you're not in this thing alone. If you need us, call us. If you need us, reach out. And we look forward to joining you again for the next experience on 434 in Motion and in Celebration Worship Live. Have a great, great day. God bless.